Welcome back to Masters Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Michael Grothy.
Hello.
And today we are talking about the official episode. If you guys were here last week, we did a quick stream.
That was yesterday. One day ago.
What did I say?
Last week.
Oh, yesterday. It's been a long 24 hours. Yesterday we talked about the banning, so that this is kind of a continuation of that conversation. Before we get started, I do want to... Oh, we need to change the names of things because it currently says with Jim Casale on everything. Because sadly, we don't have our intended guest. We had technical difficulties because we're terrible at computers. Apparently, Mac updated in a way that makes it so it can't grab audio from Skype, so we can't have guests for a second. So we're figuring that out. But
we'll have a fix by next week. We'll have a guest next week.
Hopefully. I'm saying hopefully.
In a week, you don't think we'll be able to get it up and running?
We could even buy equipment
if we had to, right?
That's true, yeah. I'm going to set up on your computer, and yours is a PC, so maybe that's the issue. Is that the Mac?
Because you're going to be gone, we're going to have to use my computer?
Yeah. We're going to figure it out. But today we're talking about bannings, and hello to everyone in the chat. I'm deleting all of the shares because it says the wrong person's name. So deal with us. Michael, in the meantime, why don't you update people on what has happened in the news as far as bannings?
What news?
As
of Monday, Oko, Thief of Crowns, Mox, Opal, and Microsynth Lattice all got banned in Modern. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. But today we're going to kind of elaborate on like what you should do if you had one of those decks. Because, you know, the problem with bans, especially in Modern, is that, like, decks are expensive, and a lot of times you've had a deck for a long time, and you kind of, you know, it takes a lot of investment to build a new Modern deck because a lot of Modern cards are expensive. So if you had Affinity and you've been playing it for 10 years, and, you know, you've tweaked your list here and there, added some Thoughtcasts, added some Galvanic Blasts, but for the most part you have the core of the deck, well, now you're out of luck because you lost your Mox Opal. So we're going to be talking about kind of what you should do going forward if you were impacted by these bans. Kind of more of an action-specific episode than yesterday, which was more just kind of talking about, you know,
yeah, so
bans
kind of
as a whole.
A lot of the concerns we're seeing online through the Masters of Modern Facebook group or the Twitter accounts or just kind of the discourse in general is people are really unhappy with the fact that they've now lost a deck in Modern, right? And Affinity has classically been this deck that's been kind of a bastion. Like, you could always kind of assume that Affinity was going to be playable, and not to mention Hardened Scales decks or Urza decks or any other of the kind of artifact-based decks that people have invested in. And so now we're in a world where, you know, Mox Opal is gone. And I think the Oko decks to a slightly lesser degree, partially because that was so fresh and new. It wasn't like no one's been jamming Oko decks for 10 years, because that card is only 3 months old and has ruined every format it's in since then.
There's still people who probably, you know, had been playing some kind of artifact combo deck and decided to invest in the Okos. Now sad, right?
Yes. Yeah. That is true, but I feel like the archetypes that were based around Oko are less like, this is the one deck I'm going to play forever, and
yeah,
more
like
metagame shifts.
Like, if you were playing Ponza and you decided to put Okos in it, like the guy who top 8ed the GP last weekend, you could just take the Okos out of your deck. You still have Ponza.
Right.
I mean, it sucks that you spent that money, but you're not like out of a deck. You now need to spend additional money to acquire a new deck.
Right.
You just, whatever you took out for the Okos, just put it back in.
I think and Microsynth Lattice to kind of the same degree, right? Like, the Karn package is actually still powerful. And in fact, I knew a lot of decks other than Tron were not even running Microsynth Lattice because they couldn't get to the 6 mana they need. And so they were just running, what's the 3 mana artifact that makes it so people can't cast spells under 3 mana?
Transphere.
And Dampening Matrix, and like there's other, like the fact that Karn is still this like one hit wonder of any artifact hate card you could ever want, plus just generically good artifacts, makes him still playable. You just no longer have the like, oh, you'll never play again unless you have a creature that can attack. And so,
well, so yeah, Tron in particular always has a lot of options and like has been existed long before Karn as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Oko is like, or Opal is the like, strikes
yes.
me as the biggest financial hit for a lot of people, because like, if your deck was based around Oko, or if Opal, I mean, if your deck was based around Opal, chances are you've been playing it a long time, and also, like, there's no replacement for Opal. But Opal was
the most expensive card in Modern.
Yeah, Opal was the most expensive card in Modern. Oko and Karn are like, you know, Karn's like 15 or something, well, and Oko was like 30 or something.
Because the point is, Karn's still playable, right? It's Michael. It is still playable, but I would say that piece that's now gone. But
I would say that
Tron
is not as interested in Karn anymore, and a lot of other decks that had been playing Karn, like some Ponza variants or some, you know, Devoted Druid variants or whatever.
He no longer has the oops, I win part attached to him, which just brings cards less playable, right? Like Hylia, we were talking about, you and Ben talked about last week and earlier this week during the hot take, we talked about for a second what, like, that card, one of the reasons it's playable is because even if it's bad, if you cast it without devotion, it still has oops, I win kind of printed on it if right. you get the right other card. And then what hoops do you want to jump through that make it playable when you're not oops I winning, because the oops I win makes it just at a base
right.
level worth
putting
in your
deck.
And I
think Karn, all he asks is for a few sideboard slots. He asks for like five or so sideboard slots, and now he's like a good card, but you lost the oops I win. And I think that does mean a lot of decks are just not going to be interested in Karn anymore. And sure. I think like Tron decks are part of it. Now, if you are more of like an artifact based toolbox deck anyway, like an Ensnaring Bridge deck, and you like have your fourth Ensnaring Bridge in the board and you grab it with Karn, that also enables you to grab a Pithing Needle or grab a Grafdigger's Cage or grab a, you know, Damping Sphere or a Worm Coil Engine. Yeah, I mean, but I think Tron in particular like didn't need that as much. It was more in it for the I win button. Right. And they'll just go back to playing
Ugin and Karn and Worm Coil Engine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of options. And because Karn is a newish card, chances are if you had Tron and you were playing it, you just play one of the other options now.
Someone brought in slot in Mindslaver and Tron with Karn instead, because you can still just start looping it, I guess, would be the plan.
Yeah, if you're Blue Tron, you can do the Academy Ruins Mindslaver thing. I mean, there are a lot of fringe decks that are hurt by these bans too, because like I do think the power of Karn, Oko, and Mox Opal can kind of like boost a fringe deck to the point where like it's competitive.
Right.
And, you know, those decks are going to be on a case-by-case basis. And I think Blue Tron is a little more fringy, I would say.
Sure.
But, like, Blue Tron has also existed since the format started, and you'll keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
Maybe you cut your Gifts Ungiven package and put in Karn, and now you just take out Karn, you put your Gifts Ungiven package back in, or something, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then look at Death Shadow, right? Like, Death Shadow exists in the format that it is as a format-defining deck because they banned Gitaxian Probe, making the like all-in double-striking Death Shadow decks from before Gitaxian Probe was banned like have to figure out different options. And then in the midst of that, they're like, oh, this is just better than that original deck.
Right. And I mean, I think that had Gitaxian Probe not been banned, there would be a Gitaxian Probe version that was the best version. But I do think that like people have innovated on it a lot since then.
Right. I mean, like you could directly trace the innovation on that deck from them being like, oh, maybe we should, oh, what if we try Thoughtseize instead of Gitaxian Probe? And they're like, oh, no, this is just like, this is what the deck should have been doing all along. Now, I don't think Gitaxian Probe leaves that deck. I just think that they no longer play the double straight cards and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I do think, I mean, also like, and if you look at here, maybe Tron with Mycosynth Lattice Mono Green Tron is the best version of that deck with that available. But once you lose that, maybe Mono Blue Tron gets better because it can take advantage of that, or a Blue Green Tron variant gets better because it can take advantage of Karn better. But before, just being able to I win on the green one that's more efficient overall was worth it.
It's true. I think that Karn in particular, like people are going to be forced, if they want to play Karn, to like think about it a little bit more and perhaps innovate more.
Right.
Similar to the Gitaxian Probe that you're saying. Yeah, it's like before you were playing Karn because he could just win the game and you had like some side plans. But for the most part, you just grab Lattice, you know.
Right. And I still think
75% of the time. But now that you don't have Lattice, you have to kind of consider a little bit more carefully, how does Karn fit into my deck and how do I best utilize this card? More than just like, I'm grabbing Mike's and Lattice 75% of the time anyway. It doesn't matter that much.
And I think like there's decks like Urza was playing Karn towards the end there with obviously all the other cards they were talking about. But I don't think Urza goes away. I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit with Mox Opal. But
that's true.
And like Urza and Karn get along. And there's a ton of Signet-esque effects that you could play that are just as good with those cards as Opal was in some ways, other than the fact that it's a bit slower.
Yeah, and the Wurza decks, like, pre-Oko were playing Ensnaring Bridge.
Right.
And so they are a little bit more toolboxy with War of Invention. Karn also allows you access to your toolbox. You can play a slower game with Liquid Metal Coating blowing up their lands one by one
right.
while you have an Ensnaring Bridge out. And I think Urza is really good with Ensnaring Bridge, actually, because He gives you the mana that you need to like dump your hand. Mm-hmm. And then once your hand is dumped, you can now like draw cards every turn with Urza by activating the 5-mana ability. And you don't like you still have action even though you don't have a hand. Right. Not to mention if you're playing Thopter Sword combo, all your Thopters can attack under the bridge and then you play your last card.
So what are your thoughts like? So obviously I think that Mycosynth Lattice Band doesn't affect Karn's playability. It does affect it from the like how often it will see play, but I think in a net positive of that banning, in my opinion, just from the perspective of that version of gameplay was probably not healthy for the format. And we talked a lot about this yesterday, but you know, for people that didn't get the chance to listen or for audio listeners, kind of the gist of it is like, it's a I win button that's a little too efficient to play.
Right. It's colorless. So you can play it in any deck that can hit 6 mana to cast Lattice, basically. Right. The restriction on like, you know, is this something I should consider for my deck? Maybe the optimal version of a lot of these decks don't play it, but should I consider this for my deck is, can I hit 6 mana?
Right.
And being colorless, that's rough.
and the conversation on like that we kind of response was a little bit of you know, hitting 10 mana is really hard. You do have to work for it. But in reality, you get a 4-mana efficient threat that draws you cards, shuts down a lot of cards in the format while also presenting threats, right? Its minus ability is create a artifact, make an artifact into an attacking thing.
It's plus one, make an artifact or target artifact becomes a creature with non-creature artifact becomes a creature with power and toughness equal to its CMC. So that's how you destroy lands with like metal coating is you like
make
their land into a artifact and then you make it a 0/0 with Karn and blows up.
And with Karn, you also have, so you have a threat basically built into the card that then starts drawing you the perfect answer to whatever your opponent's doing that can also then win you the game on the 2 turns later, like and a regular slow version, mid-range version of the game, not including what Tron could do, which is just pump it all out at once.
Right. And you need like I think with Karn, you need like some type of broad answer that's like kind of your go-to. And I think Mycosynth Lattice was that. And one of the reasons that I like Karn in particular in Ensnaring Bridge decks is because that can be your go-to card where like Ensnaring Bridge is a broad enough card against a lot of strategies. Like it stops Primeval Titan from attacking. It stops zombie tokens from Field of the Dead attacking in the same deck. It stops, you know, Death Shadows from attacking. Anybody that wants to attack you to death, they can't do it anymore, right? And that's like so many decks. Jund can attack you with Tarmogoyfs. Mm-hmm. Like it just makes it, it's such a broad answer. And then it opens up your like package of like, maybe I grab an Engineered Explosives. Maybe I grab a Chalice of the Void. Maybe I grab a whatever, you know?
I mean, I think right now as I stand, Ensnaring Bridge might be my favorite card in Commander. Even to that extent, because it like it's almost like in a Commander especially, but in Modern this has an effect too. Worst case scenario, you have a hand of cards, but then they just like can't hoof you, right?
Or they can't attack with Primeval Titan because you have five cards in hand.
Yeah. So like and those are in Commander especially the bigger threats of the problem. And Modern has Primeval Titans running around. So even if you can't get your hand down to 0 cards where you're locking the opponent out of the game, being able to just prevent them from getting into is really good. I mean, there's a reason that the mono red prowess decks are even running Ensnaring Bridges because they have all their creatures are like 1/0s and then they attack and then they pump them so they can like go under the bridge and you just if you have anything that is bigger than a 1/1 you're not attacking them and even 1/1s aren't that good because for some reason every creature in that deck is a 1/2 I think Karn has a lot of usefulness in the future. I don't think the lack of Mycosynth Lattice really hurts it. I think Mycosynth Lattice does hurt it. It does hurt it, but I think sorry, it does hurt it, but it's not like, oh, these decks are gone.
But I think that like the difference is it's not that like there were decks based around Karn, right?
Yes.
Like I don't think any deck that had Karn in it was based around Karn. I think now if you're putting Karn in your deck, it kind of does need to be based around Karn a little bit more. Like you need to be able to use his abilities more effectively. It's not just like this is my win condition, I'm just gonna play it and it's like a backup win condition that you just slot into any deck. It's like something where you kind of need that effect or your deck like really wants that effect or is going to take advantage of it before you put it in your deck, as opposed to like this is my backup win condition, I play it and then I win.
I think you are discounting a little bit the power level of just having the best toolbox card in the game currently or in the format, while also having, other than maybe the green
Fae of Witches. Creature tutors. You don't like Fae of Witches?
Not as much as Karn. Okay. Fae of Witches was like a 1/3, correct?
1/4.
On the front end.
With flying.
1/4 with flying. Karn finds you 2 cards you want and creates whatever threat you want. Plus,
maybe.
Plus destroys lands.
Maybe he finds Fae of two things.
Destroy people's lands.
It depends on what you grab.
No. I mean, one card maybe. It can get Stone Rain. Is there any? It could get Karn to then get. all right. So that's Karn. I do want to talk about Oko a little bit next. I think that for audio listeners only, the loss of Karn, I think, was, or the loss of Oko is a net positive. The 29 copies were in the top eight of the last Modern GP, which is every deck but the Jund deck was playing it. What Jund wasn't getting around, apparently.
Jund was decidedly dry.
Yep, it was a dry... blah, blah, blah. It was a dry Jund day. That's impossible to say. So I do think that that's just kind of the way that... Like, I think everyone's happy that Oko was gone. If anything, I think Oko should have been banned out of Modern a month ago, if not more. The only thing then is that there weren't enough tournaments at that time to, like, be able to actually see what's happening in Modern.
Yeah, like, you can tell that the play pattern of the card sucks, but, like, if the power level isn't high enough for it to be a format staple, then, you know, I'm fine with Wizards kind of seeing where it went. Yes. Obviously, it went to a place that you don't want Modern to be at, and so it got banned.
Right? Well, and I think the issue was more the timing of the holidays, to be honest, is that we had, like, the month of December where there just wasn't any high-profile Modern tournaments. So, like, in November, it was showing signs, oh, this needs to be banned. And then nothing for a month of, like, any actual data was given other than just, like, people being miserable on Modo. And so,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, and really people are probably playing less Magic Online during the holidays because everybody's traveling or they're with their family or they're playing Vintage Cube or whatever, right. So...
yeah. So I think that in that sense, that's really why it took as long as it did. Now, the real question is how long or if... At this point, the real question is, like, does it get banned in Vintage and Legacy, and how long does it take for that to happen if it does? And... We aren't the most aware of Vintage, especially, if not both formats. I do know that this is not the first... We are not the first person to ask that question, and people that have asked it on Twitter, the general response is it's probably just going to be banned everywhere.
Wow. Wow. Like, Oko restricted in Vintage.
Yes.
Wow. I do know that there was, like, that famous screenshot of the Eternal Weekend stream going around where, like, somebody was dealing lethal damage to their opponent with a Black Lotus.
But that's an Elk
because
Lotus.
Because it was a 3-3 Elk Black Lotus that was killing somebody on stream. That was impressive.
I think part of the issue is that in Vintage, it hits the two most relevant card types you need to answer and is also just, like, a threat that is impossible for that format to answer because they, like, if you think Modern... A format that has probably the most played Planeswalkers in it than any format has a trouble dealing with Oko. Imagine Vintage, which, like, Panther is playable because no one plays creature removal.
Well, it's not really playable anymore.
But yeah. It was at the time.
Yeah, Jace the Mind Sculptor is, like, such a feature of Vintage because people don't tend to have a lot of creatures, and he just, like, generates a lot of advantage. He, like, bounces the few creatures your opponent might have, mm-hmm. like the... You know, Phyrexian Revoker on your Lotus or whatever. Like,
right. I think that, like, that has potential happening. Ruben's nodding his head at us saying that he seems like he agrees, and I feel like he has more experience with Legacy and Vintage than I do. So I'm going to take Ruben's expertise on the subject matter. As far as decks in Modern, the one sad thing is this was the first time that Blue Green was ever, like, heavily playable in Modern. Like,
yeah.
Now, I will say that's just true of the last year. Like, I tweeted this and it was fun, but basically we did our top 10 blue green cards right after, or actually when we previewed Merfolk Mistbinder. And Merfolk Mistbinder, I think, came in second place. Yeah. And
Slippery Bogle, right?
Yeah, the Slippery Bogle was number one. And then everything else was just, like, actually unplayable cards that we were just like, it's kind of playable. It maybe saw play once, kind of, maybe. It's good in Commander. and then since then, the world has changed because we have, what's the evolution card that I'm...
Growth Spiral.
Neoform.
We got Growth Spiral, Neoform. We got Oko, obviously, in the last year. We got
Ice Fang Codal.
Hydroid Crisis, which maybe not playable in Modern, but better than Mistbinder, probably.
Yeah, Hydroid Crisis is better than every other card other than Bogle on that list, and it isn't seeing play in Modern.
Yeah, and there's another one. Incubation Incongruity. Yeah, the Ben favorite. That one is better than most of the cards on that list, and it's not... That's seeing a little bit.
Kiora, the new Kiora.
Oh, the new Kiora is getting played a bit in Modern.
More play, and sees a ton of play in Pioneer.
In Bruise, but, like, the cost is low enough and the loyalty is high enough that, like...
It's like...
The power level's there. It's like... Nobody's broken it yet, right?
And then obviously Oko is a card. And I don't know if we've talked about the... Did you guys talk about the Titan last week?
Oh, Uro, upcoming Uro. Civic card.
Futurama? No, you don't know the reference? Okay, cool. Yeah, he's the... It's what the president... Nixon's the president.
Sure.
And he ends,
ends every
sentence with Uru's name.
Yeah.
Can't read it without saying it.
It's Uro, but...
Yeah. I think you can put the evidences whenever you want. Uru is fine. Uro. Okay, fine. Whatever. I'm gonna say how I won.
You can just put the letters in whatever order you want when you say words.
Yeah, you can. You can.
That's the rule.
So one thing I do want to bring up before I continue for the people communicating on the chat is that we will be, Ruben is taking notes of questions, and we'll be doing kind of a questions and answers section at the very end of the episode. Please stick by because that will be something we're doing.
So if you have questions, feel free to ask them whenever they pop into your head, but we're going to hold off on answering questions till the end.
Yeah, partially just because we realize that for people that are audio only or just wanting to listen vibe, us getting distracted by the chat all the time. Now, I'm keeping an eye on it for people that bring up stuff that's relevant just in case, but we plan on answering your questions at the end of the episode. But back to, how do you say the real way? Uro?
Uro?
Ugh. Uru. Back to Uru.
I didn't name the card.
Yeah, it's so much better. eventually, we're going to kickstart a token series of just cards I say incorrectly.
All of them.
Need to get commissioned like Sage Rhino, like a rhino.
What about that
magic
new creature that destroys an artifact in Theros Beyond Death?
I'm not going to say it.
You think that guy's going to see any modern play? I feel like
I don't even know
you
what
could
the...
pronounce that one. It's enters the battlefield as a 2/2.
I know the card.
Let me bring it up for you.
Specifically didn't remember how to say it. But I think that card's actually pretty good. And I think that actually replaces or is an addition to kind of the Titan decks, right? That's the one thing
Uro
people are pointing at.
About.
Yeah, Uro, yeah. Yes. And the people that don't know, it's a 1 blue and green for a 6/6. When it enters the battlefield, you may put a card into play from your hand and you draw a card.
So when it enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless it escaped. Whenever it enters the battlefield or attacks, which is classic Titan.
Titan.
Since that, it's like a
perfect
Greek,
love it.
An ancient Greek style Titan, but it's a magic Titan as well.
It's like whenever the most it enters, meta.
Yeah, it's good. It's good
really
that it's
good.
So meta. Whenever it enters the battlefield or attacks, you gain 3 life, draw a card, and you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. And then it escapes for blue, blue, green, green. An escape means you can cast it from your graveyard for its escape cost, blue, blue, green, green, and exile 5 cards from your library.
That would be exiling cards in my library.
Yeah, in order to do that. So basically, on the front side, it's a 3-mana instant speed growth spiral that gains 3 life. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it gives you this inevitability of you have this big threat that you can continuously cast from your graveyard as long as you have cards in your graveyard.
Right.
Which in modern, with fetch lands and thought scours and, you know, powerful 1-mana instants and sorceries and cycling cards and whatever, it's pretty easy to get to 5 cards in your graveyard and you can 5 other cards in your graveyard and you can escape it pretty easily and have a big threat that like
you on turn three get draw a card, gain some life, and put a land in the play, and then on turn 4 draw a card, gain some life, put a land in the play, and have a 6/6.
Yeah,
and like doing that should not be difficult considering that yes, you have fetch lands. In those decks, you also often have like different things that search your deck for lands and put it in play, and then those go in the graveyard, and you have
Depending on what kind of shell you're putting it in. But yeah, it definitely is at home in like a blue-green ramp style shell, which we're seeing a lot more in modern because I think, you know, the power of Oko in particular, but of green cards. I mean, there's a lot of like Ice Fang, Kotal decks. You can play this guy in Collected Company because it only costs 3 mana. When it comes in, it sacrifices itself, admittedly, but you get it into play, you get the value off your Collected Company,
right,
and you can bring it back. Now, in Collected Company decks, hitting the escape is maybe a little bit more difficult because you're playing mostly creatures in your decks. You don't have as many cards in your graveyard, probably, but it's like an interesting consideration, right? That like its mana cost hits the Collected Company barrier. You kind of have to mention it anytime it's a green creature or a creature that plays well with green creatures,
right,
I suppose,
right.
Like in the case of Heliod.
I do think that, so do you think that the Primeval Titan decks are now going to have the big target on their head? And could we see a ban out of those decks going into the next season? Like, is like people are now in a little bit of a ban shell shock. And I feel like there is a chance that we're going to see more bannings soon. Or they feel that way. Do you think that we're going to be walking into that format?
Well, yeah. I mean, the last year of Magic has had a lot of bans. It's had like multiple standard bans, which is pretty rare. Multiple you know, series of modern bands where we had Bridge from Below and then Hogak and Faithless Looting and then now with Oko Opal and Mycosynth Lattice.
Which, by the way, the worst part about the Mycosynth Lattice ban is that that card is a nightmare to spell, and I have now had to type it like 30 times in the last 24 hours.
It's just phonetic. I mean, I guess two T's.
I think the fact that like neither of those are real words.
Lattice is.
But Lattice is harder because there's like, I feel like there needs to be extra C's in there, or the E and the I are in different places, or there's two T's or one T. I have no idea. Mycosynth, though, not a real word. So every time I spell it, it's like,
I mean, it's
red,
real
big squiggly line.
It's real
it.
Like Greek roots, though, right?
That like means nothing to me. Like, if anything, it wrecks me.
Like synth, like synthetic, and then myco, like mushroom, like mycologist or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I assume that's what it is. It's
okay.
like a fake Latin. Fake mushroom.
It's a lattice of mushrooms.
Fake mushrooms, specifically fake ones.
Okay.
Synthetic mushrooms. I think that's what it's supposed
all
to
mushrooms
be, right?
Synthetic. Are those real? They feel like aliens. They're not. They don't even fit in any of the other animal trees.
Fungus.
Yeah, it's its own.
It's the fungus kingdom.
Yeah, it's its own thing.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, we're talking about future banning. So yeah, with this like
mushrooms taste like dolphin.
Bunch of standard bannings, which is highly unusual. We got Ren and Six ban in Legacy. Legacy bans are pretty unusual in and of themselves because like not that much Legacy gets played compared to the other formats. So usually they're pretty slow on the trigger with Legacy. So Ren and Six already banned in Legacy after not that long. We got like three rounds of modern bans, each banning, you know, between one and three cards. We've got multiple rounds of standard bannings with Golos and Oko and Field of the Dead and Once Upon a Time and Veil of Autumn. And then Pioneer. Now, Pioneer is excusable with all the bans because the whole point of Pioneer is let's start with a clean format and see what has to get banned. The problem is that, like, the timing was really bad. Because it kind of syncs up with all these other bans that are happening, particularly in the wake of Eldraine, that like it just feels like something's getting banned from some format every single week. And if you're paying attention to every format and you just like want to know what's going on in the world of Magic, you can't avoid people being like complaining about bans or talking about bans or discussing what's getting banned next, because like it's happening so frequently and Pioneer really didn't help. Like the timing on it was poor. I like the concept of the Pioneer ban list. In general, like, I think it's an interesting way to kind of build a format, and it's a good thing for them to test because this isn't the last format they're ever going to create.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's rough, right? And then like historic randomly, like they had to suspend some cards, which they just suspended the cards that had been banned in standard already. But it's just like,
if Pioneer had been launched a year ago, then we would be in a situation where that was a 5-month period where kind of nothing was happening.
Yeah.
And it would have been like a really cool experiment to see Pioneer modified every week and had that happen. But because we were going through probably the worst banning period since Mirrodin.
Yeah, probably.
It just like escalates that exhaustion with the subject matter. What's interesting though, and one of the reasons I do appreciate Pioneer and everyone being sick of the way they did the bans, is it's definitely slowed down the amount of people asking us like what we think of no banless modern, or like unban everything and reban everything, because like that would be miserable and this is why.
Yeah, you've seen it.
We've now done the grand experiment, and was it great? I don't know.
I think it was pretty cool, but it's like, there's no reason to take your format back to square one, right?
Right.
I like the concept of the square one format, and I don't think that it was a failure. Like, I think that it could happen again, but, like, it's tough because so much stuff is getting banned.
Right.
In every format. So, but should we be concerned about future bans? Yeah, I think that, like, the big winner is that the Primeval Titan decks were, like, the second best deck, or like the other best deck alongside Urza, at the last like few SCGs in the last Modern GP, which was Austin last weekend. And it didn't get anything banned out of it. And it, other than Oko, which like not even every Titan based list is playing Oko. So you've got like Amulet Titan. There's like this Simic Titan deck that's just playing Field of the Dead, no Amulet, and just like doing it old school. That one was maybe a little bit more dependent on Oko, but again, like you don't need it. And then,
and it's getting
now,
new cards, right? It's getting the...
Yeah, it's getting that Dryad that can go into a Valakut-based Titan deck, which either now Valakut is like an alternate win con in your Amulet, or Amulet probably doesn't have room, but in your Simic Titan deck, where like, if you have this creature out, you can go grab your two Valakuts or your one Valakut and just kill with that.
You don't even have to play mountains.
Like, well, you kind of have to play Scapeshift, I guess. But you don't have to play mountains right. in your Scapeshift Titan deck because of this Dryad of the Elysian Grove. And that can be your backup plan. You yep. just have two Valakuts in your deck. It sucks if you draw it. But with Once Upon a Time, you're like consistently finding what you need and you're playing extra lands. So maybe a tapped land here and there that doesn't tap for any color is fine.
Right.
Yeah, so Titan is like getting some new tools, and it was like the best deck in the format. So I definitely think it's a deck to keep an eye on. I don't know if it's going to need a ban, but I think that it makes the Titan decks pretty tough to fight against because it's now pretty fast and has some efficient blockers like mm-hmm. Arboreal Grazer and Dryad of the Elysian Grove. So it's like kind of hard to aggro it down. It's doable. I think it's still probably aggro, I would guess, is its worst matchup. But Field of the Dead in particular gives it like this long inevitability that was part of the reason that it got banned. Field of the Dead was getting banned from other formats, Pioneer and Standard and Historic, namely, is because like you just can never play a long game against these Field of the Dead decks because they have this land that you can't easily interact with that just is generating value, and you just can never beat the zombies. It can like turbo it out and just like make a ton of zombies on turn 4 or 5 or whatever, and you right. have to beat that. And even if you beat that, well, here's 2 zombies every turn. Here's some more zombies. You got some more zombies, and you just have to like wipe the board every turn or die, basically, right. if you're a slower deck.
And I think like, I also think there's a chance that Urza, like Mox Opal kind of died for the sins of Urza in some ways. Now, I do think that sentence has been said with KCI. It's been said with like other decks that at one point got close to needing Mox Opal to be banned at one point or another. So that's kind of here or there. Like, I think Opal eventually had a target on its head one day. And so... With that, let's talk about Opal. But I do think Urza decks aren't going away. I think those decks are...
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think the deck was like, I'm only winning because I have a like extra mana on turn 2, generally.
Well, Urza is like the main deck that got 2 cards banned because most of the Urza decks at this point were playing Oko. Sure. Plus, you have Opal. And they were a little bit more mid-rangey. Like, they're playing a bunch of counter spells and they're like kind of leaning on Oko as a major win condition. They're playing like Mystic Sanctuary to generate value and... rebuy cryptic commands and stuff and mm-hmm. do the cryptic command loop. I think that with no Opal and no Oko, I would guess that Urza decks are more back to combo. Like, we're going to see more Thopter Sword
sure.
Type like stuff.
Engineer or Stoneforge Mystic in either of them.
Right. You maybe return to Goblin Engineer, return to Stoneforge Mystic, because like you need a way to win the game. And right. before, your way to win the game was just like grind them out with Oko. They never have any relevant permanents. You kill them with Elks in whatever time frame suits you, because right. you can counter all their spells, you can turn all their stuff into Elks, who cares? But I think with no Oko, like Oko was kind of representing a pretty important win condition for the deck that's mm-hmm. gone. And so I think in thinking, well, what do I think is the best win condition with Urza? I think it's probably Thopter Sword, but maybe there's some other combo, yeah, like the paradoxical outcome decks that were just like winning with making a million Thopters with Psy. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're back to that. I mean, we'll see. But right. I think it's like a more combo looking Urza as opposed to the mid range Urza decks.
Right.
I think is the first place I would look with Urza. You lose some speed because of no Opal, obviously, but you know, I don't think you need it.
Yeah, the deck wasn't really ever about speed, right? Yeah. Like, that's even before when it was combo heavy, before Oko was adopted by the deck was still kind of like, I'm going to use hate artifacts to slow you down while I spend my time tutoring and gaining value off of my cards until I can combo and win.
Yeah, I'm using War of Invention to find the Grafdigger's Cage to slow down this Dredge player so that I can combo them or right, whatever. Right. Like, Opal got you set up quicker in the same way that it got, like, Lantern Control set up quicker. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, oh, because of this Opal, I get to play, you know, Springleaf Drum, Ornithopter, Cranial Plating on turn 1, go. Like, it's not trying to do anything super fast and beat you up. It's just like, you know, it just gets you set up faster so that you can start controlling the right. game.
Opal's an interesting card, too, because, and we're going to talk about some lists that people, I asked Twitter earlier today, kind of for different lists that people have, and I have some that we'll talk about, and there'll be links in the world. It's interesting with Opal because classically when people have a deck banned from them, the price loss of that deck, obviously playing it and the deck that they love going away is something that's sad, but also I've invested money in this thing and now I no longer have that money. For a lot of Opal decks, Opal was that investment, right? Like yeah. In Affinity, over time they've reprinted most of the cards to the effect that they're not that expensive. I think now Ravager is the most expensive card after Opal in the deck. After that, yeah,
I think so. And in Hardened Scales as well.
And Hardened Scales, the same kind of deal. And then and Lantern. I think like maybe the surgical extractions are up there, but for the most part, it's a pretty inexpensive deck.
Lands, maybe,
but they're both, they like have so many colorless lands, and the because they printed the new artifact land, not artifact land, the new artifact.
Inventor's Fair?
No, that one,
sure. Spire of Invention?
Yeah, Spire of Invention.
Yeah, you don't need Glimmer Void
you don't
as badly.
Need, right, yeah, you don't need Glimmer. Like, Glimmer Void used to be one of the price caps, right? Like, Glimmer Void, Ravager, Mox Opal, these were kind of the expensive cards in Infinity. Glimmer Void now has a inexpensive replacement.
Even Steel Overseer was a little bit of a barrier for a while,
and
but not
they
anymore.
Yeah, so, like we're in a world where the deck isn't that expensive, other than the Opals, and so I actually think most of the decks that played Mox Opal will be fine. I think they'll be playable in some format. I think some are worse than others. And like, for instance, you know, the one of the lists that was sent is that Saffron Olive was playing kind of a budget version of Affinity.
So while you look that up, I think, Opal is like the roughest band to me. Everybody has kind of known that it's on the bubble. So if I was playing an Opal deck, I wouldn't have bought into it in the last couple of years, probably personally. And if I had an Opal deck, I would have spent the last couple of years maybe getting some pieces for a backup deck because sure. People have been talking about banning Opal for a long time. I mean, it's been like this busted mana accelerant that's been, you know, breaking a lot of stuff, and everybody kind of knew that Affinity's not super a problem, but like maybe Hardened Scales is, or maybe Eggs is, or maybe KCI is, or maybe like when they printed SRAM and everybody was about Cheerios, like maybe the Cheerios deck turns out to be good enough that you need to ban it.
Kethys.
Maybe Kethys is the deck that needs to ban it. Well, yeah.
Like, I think yesterday I said Primeval Titan was responsible for the most cards on the ban list. And I think it's actually a tie between Grapeshot, Primeval Titan, and Mox Opal, right? Like they all...
I get that like Grapeshot is gameplay that Wizards doesn't like, but it's not that good.
Well, sure. I'm not arguing that other cards out of Storm need to be banned, but there are multiple cards on the ban list that are banned because of Storm.
Mostly, yeah.
Like, there's Seething Song, there's the one red for two red that got fun. Killed originally, there's both of the blue cantrip spells.
That's not just Storm. I don't even think Storm would be the best Ponder deck. Like, if they unbanned Ponder or Preordain, I don't even think Storm would be the best Ponder or Preordain deck.
At the time, they banned it because of Splinter Twin, Storm, and those are the two main blue-red combo decks. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if Adnaz was a big problem back then, but I think Adnaz would become a bigger problem if they had access to a better cantrip.
But, so you have those kind of decks. So you have Storm cards that were banned. Maybe it's not Grapeshot, it's the Mechanic Storm. But then Mox Opal, you have the Artifact Lands, you have KCI, you have Second Sunrise. Like, the amount of decks that card has shown up in with cards on the ban list is larger than most. I guess like the only other card that you may be able to consider is like a Noble Hierarch, but that's just accidental. Like, I don't think that's the reason, but yeah, like, Queen Sun Zenith and Birthing Pod are both on the ban list.
That's not because of Noble Hierarch.
Yeah. No, it's the Noble Hierarch's fault.
But I think it's the ban that hurts the most because people have been playing Mox Opal decks for a long time. It's like always seemed to dodge the ban, so it seemed relatively safe. And I think that it really hurts the deck a lot more than the other two. It's also the most expensive. So it's the most expensive out of the three.
Yes.
It's the oldest of the three. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you had been playing Tron and you just added Great Creator. Now you can just take it out.
Right.
Like, your deck is based around it for the most part. And decks are based around Mox Opal significantly more than they're based around Karn or more than they're based around Oko, because those both tend to be like control pieces / backup wing cons that, you know, your deck isn't based around them. They're just kind of there being efficient, good cards that also win the game.
Right.
And Opal, like, decks are based around Opal. And so it's like to the point where if you were playing Ravager Affinity, just like classic Affinity for years, maybe you switched to Hardened Scales when it got popular and now you have Hardened Scales. Like, your deck's pretty close to just banned, and like you just need to buy a new deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't know if that's true though. Like,
well, tell me why it's not true then, Alex.
Well, first off, I mean, like, this is very early days in the format. Like, but Mox Opal giving those things a turn bump. First off, there's an argument that Affinity was already a dead deck, right? Like, you can make the argument that like Jund just top aided, and like Merfolk has randomly won a GP. Every GP where the most people tell me Merfolk is the worst deck in the format, it like wins that GP. So like, not because it's necessarily good nor bad, but just because it's like an aggressive deck that one, you know, a subset of players are are definitively invested in and get very good at. And so they're able to weave around opponents that are not as good at the format as they are and take advantage of that.
That are playing the hot new deck that was the right meta call, but they don't know how to sideboard against Merfolk, or they don't know how to sideboard against Affinity. Yeah. Like they cut the Sony Sounds from their sideboard because Affinity was bad or whatever, and then you just run them over.
Right. Like Affinity was also always the deck, like the better Dredge was doing, the better Affinity would do. And like, and part of that was just like, you had to choose graveyard hate or artifact hate. What are you going to choose? And so, like, when that is your option, you sometimes forget that Affinity.
Not to mention, if I had to pick one of those decks to play against the other one, I would pick Affinity to play against Dredge.
Yeah. I don't know if I would pick... sure, yeah. I think with Urza being around, is the issue is that it became Urza versus Dredge.
Sure.
Interesting that this year has been either Urza artifact decks were the best deck in the format, or Dredge / Vengevine decks were the best deck in the format.
Like after Modern Horizons was printed, yeah.
Yeah, since
Modern
Horizons, like it's went through those two.
Pre Modern Horizons, we had more going on, I think, but Modern Horizons kind of like introduced really powerful cards that people wanted to build around, and many of them have just like been the best deck. Now, Primeval Titan is not one of them. Like Primeval Titan didn't get anything from Modern Horizons.
It's time for lands to come out on top.
Like the cards that are bringing Primeval Titan decks to the forefront are not Modern Horizons cards. It's like Field of the Dead and Once Upon a Time are just like recent standard release sets. Cards that had to get banned in standard, admittedly, but
So some of the decks that people kind of have sent me, there's one that is like much more low to the ground, aggressive affinity deck.
Does it have Frogmite in it?
No.
Okay.
It has 4 Memnite, 4 Ornithopter, 4 Arcbound Worker, 4 Bomat Courier, 4 Signal Pest, 4 Vault Scourge, 4 Galvanic Blast, 4 Shrapnel Blast, 3 Ghostfire Blade, and 4 Cranial Plating. And it has like Springleaf Drum and the Nexuses and the Blink Moths and Inventor's Fair and etc.
Okay. So it's... to like make up for the lack in speed of deploying your creatures, it gets some reach with burn, and it gets kind of a late game plan with additional equipment.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And in Saffron, there's a video you can go to, if you look up Budget Magic Artifact Blast Affinity on MTG Goldfish, you can find the videos of Saffron playing it there.
Yeah. So I think that deck is going to be a good choice. I think, yeah, like... you are slowed down a little bit, and like you're a little bit more all in on these like burn spells to the face. So like if your opponent has some natural life gain, like Lightning Helix is probably a nightmare against this deck. Whereas like classic Affinity was a little more explosive and maybe could just go right through. But I mean, I think it's a pretty good alternative.
Yeah. The three main cards I've seen people talk about as maybe replacements for Mox Opal, Galvanic Blast is one of them, because what you sacrifice in speed from a perspective of mana, you gain in the speed in a perspective of damage.
Right. You're not deploying your threats as quickly, but those threats don't need to deal as much damage to your opponent because you can finish them off with a couple of blasts.
Right, right. The other one is Simeon Spirit Guide as like kind of the short end version of Mox Opal, where like you still get the quick mana at the beginning, you just don't have that mana advantage late game. Affinity is one of the few decks that is relatively valuable. What you do lose is the fact that you have an artifact in play. Like just having Metalcraft is important.
I don't think I like that as much. Sure. I think being able to sack it to Ravager and having it count for Cranial Plating is worth a lot more than just like the single mana on the first turn.
And the third one is Once Upon a Time.
I like that. Especially for like hardened scales.
Right. Where like you can now find the threats you need. You can find like... you kind of get card velocity more than you get mana, but like, and kind of with all three, what you're really gaining is different directions of attack for speed, right? You're either gaining card velocity, you're gaining damage velocity, or you're gaining mana velocity.
Well, and Once Upon a Time kind of like gives you consistency in exchange for your speed, because Affinity is a deck that just plays a lot of air. You're playing like all these like Springleaf Drums and Signal Pests, and even Mox Opal is like air at a certain point in the game, and you're playing like Ornithopters. You're just playing all these cards that don't do anything. Vault Scourge, it does nothing, right? But you have like your 12 threat cards, and over time those threat cards have changed, but currently it's typically like Ravager, Cranial Plating, like Steel Overseer, or like your
Signal
big
Pest
threat cards.
And
in hardened scales, like Ballista and Hangar Back Walker can also kind of be the threat cards as well. In these decks, being able to like dig for your threat cards on turn one, like means you'll have a lot of opening hands where you have two threats. So even though you're not playing them out as quickly, you can kind of like play one, it gets bolted, you play the other one, you equip, whatever. Like,
And also, I don't think the gameplay, you can, if you go back, we did a really good episode on Affinity early on in the podcast. One of the reasons, because this deck has kind of been almost unchanged for years. And like the game plan of the deck, one of the reasons it was strong is because it was always attacking you with a spear, right? It was always like, here's a big threat you have to answer. But in the meantime, it was also attacking you on the wide end, right? Yeah. It was always like, you have to deal with this signal pest that has a cranial plating on it, but also here's my signal pest pumping all these ornithopters on the sides that you like aren't paying attention to, but are doing damage to you at the same time.
So you block the cranial plating signal pest with your Birds of Paradise to chump or whatever, but you're taking five on the side. Yeah.
And it always kind of had the ability to do both. And I don't think that strength of the deck goes away with the Mox Opal ban. And if anything, like one thing I will say is, one of the weaknesses of Affinity has always been it is all air, right? You're playing with cards that kind of don't do a whole lot.
Yeah, a lot of very low impact cards that you're just playing for synergy.
And Mox Opal is almost the worst offender of that, because it literally, once you no longer need mana, does nothing other than be an artifact in play.
Right.
And
being an artifact in play is moderately relevant, valuable for the deck, which is the reason you can afford to play so much air.
Right. But this could, like, people playing more Bomak Couriers, because that draws them cards. People, like, there's different ways of, like, kind of gaining advantage that maybe they'll be forced to look at that they previously weren't doing. And I think that both, and that's for Affinity. Now, talking about Hardened Scales, I think Hardened Scales is a deck that the gameplay of +1/+1 counter themed stuff that's powerful with that, I don't know if that really goes away either. Especially, I can see it moving more towards an enchantment style gameplay. With Heliod being able to do the same kind of deal with
And if you slot in Once Upon a Time and find room for one or two Heliods, then you can find the Heliod when you're ready to find it, right? And or you can find the Ballista if you like have this dead Heliod in your hand.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Hardened Scales has always like been a little bit slower and grindier than Affinity. Like, it's not as explosive. So losing Mox Opal maybe isn't as much of a hit for it.
Yeah. I think that obviously getting a free Mox is powerful, and losing that does in general add a negative. But I think a lot of these decks can look at different ways in kind of the same way. I think Mox Opal was always better than Simeon Spirit Guide, and it was just more powerful enough that it never had this happen to it. But almost every Simeon Spirit Guide deck I've ever seen in Modern starts with four Simeon Spirit Guide in this deck. And as the like year goes on, it's just starts saving more and more of them for consistency versus explosivity.
Yeah, but I think having a permanent in play is like something a lot of decks can take advantage
of. Yeah, I think Mox Opal is just past that power level. And I think if anything, Arcbound Ravager is the one that gets hit the most by that lacking, because it's the one of the things that cares about how many artifacts you have in play.
Well, and plating.
But I think that one pip on plating is less important than Ravager.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that. I mean, it could be the difference between like two attacks to kill them and three attacks to kill them.
But I think that like there are alternative ways for all these decks to go. I mean, Urza is the easiest one. I actually don't think this, like, we talked about that already pretty thoroughly, but I don't think this hurts Urza that much compared to even these other two decks.
Yeah, agreed. I think the Urza deck looks different now, but I don't think it's like dead.
And I think Oko is more of a thing that's making it look different than even the Opal ban.
Yes, I agree with that.
That's kind of the main changes to the... I mean, Lantern was also kind of a deck that had been fallen by the wayside, but if that's a deck you're playing, how important do you think it was to Lantern? Ruben's shaking his head no. Like, he thinks the deck is fine.
I don't think it's as important to Lantern. Like, you took a while to get set up in Lantern anyway, because you didn't have, like, all these zero mana artifacts. I mean, you're playing, like, Mishra's Bauble, I guess, but you weren't, like, dumping your whole hand out in Lantern. It just helped you get set up one turn faster. And now you're, like, getting set up one turn slower, but you have other forms of interaction. Like, I think Drown in the Lock is, like, a big form of interaction for Lantern that you didn't have before that now you do have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Lantern, if you are a player who, like, is good enough at Lantern to, like, play it with Opal, I think that you will make it work without Opal.
Right. And so I guess the moral of all of this is, to all of the players who are currently very unhappy that Opal being gone destroys their deck, I think take a breath, and I don't know if I agree that your deck has been destroyed. I think that there are already people making lists that were trying to skirt around Mox Opal for your lists that are out there because of how expensive it was.
Yeah.
The amount of content creators out there that tried just making budget Magic decks, like the rest of Affinity was cheap. The rest of we just said it. The one mana green enchantment that adds counters.
Hardened Scales.
The rest of Hardened Scales was relatively inexpensive. It was the Opals that was kind of the most expensive piece. And so there's they were finding decent success. There's a shell around that deck that is still really good. So I wouldn't discount Hardened Scales. I wouldn't discount Affinity. I wouldn't discount Lantern. I wouldn't discount Urza. I think all of those decks definitely have potential moving forward to be good. How are they going to be as good? I don't know. And there is one issue with...
Well, no, I think they're not going to be as good. But that doesn't mean that they're unplayably bad, especially like given a pretty unknown meta. I mean, like we're going to have Primeval Titan decks. We're going to have Red Prowess. But like beyond that, the meta is pretty unknown. And based on Titan and Red Prowess being like two of the front runners after the ban, like decks are going to crop up to beat those decks and your deck's going to beat that deck. And like there's going to be, I think, a bit of a new metagame because it got shaken up mm-hmm. so much with these bans that, you know, we'll maybe there is a version of like a former Lemox Opal deck that's just the best deck. Maybe Urza just is still one of the best decks, or right. maybe Hardened Scales rises up to the top because people are innovating on it, like you said with Death Shadow. I get that like people spent a lot of money and now their investment is worthless, and in fact they feel like they need to invest more money to play, but I wouldn't sell your collection yet, right? Like if you're hurting, just wait a few months and see how it goes.
Right. I wouldn't jump in right now and try buying a deck. I would wait and see what's going on. It's right. not like there's a ton of modern.
Right. I wouldn't jump in and buy a deck. I wouldn't just sell my collection and quit Magic forever. Yeah. Like it's really unfortunate, especially what's happening with all the bans. But I think that like in a few months, there might be a build of right. Hardened Scales or a build of Urza or a build of, you know, Eldrazi Tron with no Karn or whatever. That's like the best deck.
Right. And I do think like you can look at like if you're playing Affinity and you play that every FNM because you have a modern FNM and that's the main way you like playing Magic. Like, look at the Saffron Olive lists. Like, Galvanic Blast is not an expensive card. Bomat Courier is not an expensive card. Just slide them in, see how they do, and still play the deck, right? Like, I do think that it's not like your win condition was killed. It's not like Splinter Twin where the only way that deck could win was removed from the format.
Right.
Or the other way it won was, like, 2/1 fairies for 3 mana that are bad without
well, it. Well, yeah, it took a while, but eventually Blue Moon surfaced as like the twinless right. twin deck. But yeah, I mean, the Splinter Twin players were hurting for a long yeah. time because it took a while for somebody to figure out that like you can actually just play Splinter Twin with some random win con and sure. it doesn't matter what it is, just put Blood Moon in your
yeah,
deck.
Yeah, yeah. And like, and you know, Birthing Pod decks eventually, Coco happened pretty quickly after that, and there have been Malaria combo decks since then. Now, all of these decks fallen out of the wayside or gone better or worse over time, but that has more to do with the metagame shifts. Like, I honestly don't think that Birthing Pod being legal and modern right now makes that deck good, partially because of all the answers to Birthing Pod that are printed. We talked about that previously. But also because just, like, the amount of good removal with Fatal Push being in the format and other removal being in the format that just kills creatures. Like, there's a reason like the Coco version of the deck is bad.
And there's, like, a lot of fast linear decks now that didn't really exist at the height of Birthing Pod. Right. And so Birthing Pod maybe had a little bit more breathing room to grind you out.
Like, Birthing Pod is great when the format is aiming to be a turn 4 format. And Modern has been a turn 2-3 format for a while now at its fastest. It's not always that. But, like, Wizards gave up pretty quickly after Amulet Titan got banned at like really trying
Summer
to keep
Bloom, you mean?
Summer Bloom got yeah, banned. Yeah. Amulet Titan, the card out of Amulet Titan, for a while, just because of how like it's plugging up, you know, sinking ship with your fingers, right? Eventually just enough holes keep
yeah,
popping.
I mean,
around
I don't know if I agree that Birthing Pod wouldn't be dangerous, but yeah, I think that like, yes, Birthing Pod got Coco right after, and that's been a pillar of the format for years
right.
since, and it's
right.
it's been just as good, if not as good, without its key card, right? And Birthing Pod, even, I would say, is more of a key card to the Birthing Pod deck than Mox Opal is to a lot of these decks. Maybe
yeah.
not to Affinity. But, like, it's not like Ravager got banned or Cranial
like,
Plating
like,
got banned.
Aggressive artifact deck, I think. Like, and this is kind of my point. Like, Affinity wasn't that good recently. It had
yeah,
the potential
sure.
of doing what it was. But for the last, I want to say, 6 months, it hasn't been the strongest pillar of the format. And or even a strong pillar of the format. So yes, moving Mox Opal makes that deck worse, but it was already not in the best spot. And so maybe this forces it to play maybe a more resilient version of the deck.
Yeah.
And so I am excited to see the innovation people come up with, to see the cool things you can play. One person sent me a list that was playing the new Forge, the 4-mana artifact.
Oh, Mystic Forge?
Mystic
That's
Forge.
That's awesome. I do think Mystic Forge decks, had they existed in Modern before, would have been hurt a lot by the Mox Opal ban, but I'm very interested to see what a Mystic Forge deck looks like, particularly with no Opal.
Also, someone sent an Experimental Frenzy, which are like very similar.
Yeah. I've seen Experimental Frenzy Affinity before. Yeah. When it first got printed, it was like the version of Affinity, right. And then it turned out that it wasn't good enough, just like Affinity hadn't been good enough to be a top player, not to say not good enough to play and perhaps be successful with, but it wouldn't. Didn't make it a top deck.
And who knows? Tempered Steel might make a comeback, which would be dope.
I don't know about that. I like Ghostfire Blade
Tempered
more than
Steel,
I like Tempered
Heliod, Steel. Hardened Scales, just Enchantress Artifact. Play the fairy, make it 4-color.
I mean, Hardened Scales, the deck gets a lot worse the worse Ravager is. And the fewer artifacts you're playing, the worse Ravager is.
What is there? There's no enchantment Ravager. Does that not exist? I guess there's like...
No.
People should play Boggles.
There's also not any like 0-mana enchantments or even as many relevant 1-mana enchantments as there are artifacts. So
that's
like
true.
Enchantment Ravager would be way worse even if it existed at the same mana cost with Arcbound for enchantments or something. Or not Arcbound, what's it called?
Modular
for enchantments.
Yep. Cool. So the last question I have in regards to Affinity before we get into chat questions is, there has been a push on the internet, and even before this happened, there was a push for this to happen. And I think we even had Corey Burkhart on the cast saying that having all of them unbanned would be fine, but people are mostly talking about the one, and that is the mono green artifact land Tree of Tales. Do you think it'd be fine to unban? B, do you think that would offer cool things to the format? And C, do you think Wizards would even consider it?
I think it is relatively interesting to unban artifact lands now that there's no Mox Opal. I think Mox Opal was a big thing breaking them. I mean, they're still strong with Ravager, but Affinity fall out of favor already with Opal. Now they have no Opal. Are artifact lands okay? Maybe. I'm not in favor of just unbanning Tree of Tales because I think it's like unintuitive that only one artifact land would be unbanned.
Oh, I'm banned, sure. There's two.
Darksteel Citadel doesn't count because it's like out of the cycle. It wasn't printed in the same set. It's aesthetically different. There's like a lot of differences with it to me. But Tree of Tales is like part of a very distinct cycle. And I think if people like see Tree of Tales in a deck, they're going to be confused. They're going to call a judge. They're going to be like, what's going on here? Like, aren't the artifact lands banned?
Sure.
And they're like, not that one. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It just feels weird to me for people who aren't like very dialed into the modern, like to the Magic current events, you know, like if you have a hometown GP, you've been playing Modern for a long time, but you're not like on Magic Twitter or whatever, and you go to a GP and you see a Tree of Tales, you're gonna be like,
I do think they're fine to unban. I mean, Corey argued that they just all were and fine to unban with Mox Opal. Like, he thought it would actually maybe make the deck worse in a world where people were playing Stony Silences and other ways to get rid of them, because it made the deck just that much worse against every hate card under the sun.
Yeah, Shatterstorm.
And like the opportunity to just get blown out if you Ravager your lands and them just like Path to Exile, Fatal Push, like, and you're just like, okay. Was enough of a reason to just like, maybe they're fine then anyways. And then the fact that I do think that if I were to pick one of them to unban, I agree with you. Like, it's weird to unban one, but if we were to unban one, I don't even know if Tree of Tales would be the one I think would be okay to ban, with like Visions being a card that's legal and like just green having so many better.
Are you talking
ways.
About Ancient Stirrings when you say the word Visions?
I am. I'm absolutely talking about Ancient Stirrings.
You're welcome, viewers.
That card needs to be banned. Just so I don't have to say it ever again. Ancient Stirrings being maybe the best artifact card in Modern, being able to be cast off of Tree of Tales doesn't make me feel like it's the least powerful one. If I were to choose, I'd pick the white one. Partially because just like, obviously there's the meta conversation, meme conversation of just like white sucks, so we should give it more powerful things to do. But also Tempered Steel, there's the white path Metalcraft card. There's like cuter
Dispatch.
White cards, Dispatch.
Yeah.
There's the, what's the white egg guy? He like brings back white cards for one and a white from the graveyard.
Ariarch Salvagers.
Not to mention just like all of the core synergy or like white artifact synergy that I think could be cool.
Stoneforge, if you were playing some sort of artifact deck. Like, you could play Stoneforge to search for your cranial plating.
Yeah.
What about that?
Spicy. Actually, that's also a thing that this deck could do. I mean, we talked about that before when Stoneforge Mystic was unbanned, yeah, about Affinity playing Stoneforge Mystic, and it never really happened. And, yeah, like, that is a much...
Well, because Affinity didn't really become, like, a top player,
right,
at that point.
Didn't become a top player. It wasn't necessary for the deck. It was still kind of about wide artifacts. But now that it's not, I think Stoneforge Mystic is another card that I'd love to see people try. So, yeah, I think... I agree. Don't ban just Tale of Truth. If you're going to unban an artifact land, just unban all of them.
Yeah, just unban all of them. I don't know that it's safe. So Affinity, I think it's fine. I'm a little more worried about like other combo decks, like whatever Urza becomes. Like, how is it going to be able to use artifacts? I don't know. Like, I'd have to think about it a little bit. But like KCI type stuff, right? Obviously, KCI is still banned, yeah, so you're fine. But
I think,
like,
KCI is the bigger...
That type of like... I don't know. I'd have to do some research to see if I think that'd be good.
Yeah, I think yes, research would need to be done. I do think they're now higher on my list of safe unbans, with Mox Opal no longer being in the format and KCI no longer being in the format, yeah, right? Like, there's not that many things in the format that, like, sacrificing your artifacts is that good. And yeah, like, Second Sunrise is gone too. Like, there's not a lot of things you can do with it. Like, they've been pretty good at getting rid of the things that sacrifice artifacts for combo purposes.
Sure. Ravager being a creature that just, like, gets power and toughness is, like,
right,
not that busted.
Like, anything on the planet can kill a Ravager. Like, I think every removal spell in the format can.
Well, Ravager's harder to kill than you think, because you can respond to the removal spell by piling everything on and putting it on your Ornithopter.
Yes, yes,
and then,
yeah,
you're,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
hey, I did it.
You did it.
Or put it on your Etched Champion or whatever.
Yeah. Right, right. So, yeah, I think kind of the wrapping up the conversation, there are options for all of these decks that had these cards banned out from under them, and I wouldn't give up hope that those decks are bad. It sucks that those cards, like,
I wouldn't give up hope that those decks are going to be, like, unplayable, right? Because, yeah, like, Affinity and Hardened Scales in particular, they were, like, they're not really the top dog. They haven't been the top dog in a while. But this doesn't make them, like, so much less playable that you need to take apart your deck, right?
Right, right. And there are 100 different ways you can kind of try different things, and maybe one of those things is better suited for the metagame we're about to go into. And the other piece of that is, at least Mox Opal is playable in every other format it's legal in, right? Like, I don't think yep, Legacy isn't good. And to be totally honest, the Legacy Affinity deck, the only difference between that and the regular one is the inclusion of artifact lands.
Yeah, and probably sideboard cards.
And some sideboard cards. And then, like, Vintage plays Mox Opals. Standard doesn't play Mox Opals. I don't know why I went to Standard. Commander plays Mox. Like, every artifact, yeah, deck on the planet plays a Mox Opal. The reason they weren't previously is because they're just expensive.
And I also think the price probably tanked. If you, like, foiled out your Affinity deck and you have, like, foil Mox Opals or something, like, Commander players will still probably pay top dollar for those in, yeah, a year, right? I mean...
I think all of the foil ones are fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Well,
if anything,
like,
I think you're...
foil Ravagers from Mirrodin,
yeah,
or something,
yeah,
those,
yeah,
are going to go down a lot and they're not going to recover. But right. Opal is a card that, like, lots of Commander players have been dying to get their hands on for cheap. And I'm sure with the number flooding the market right now, it is not going to satisfy everyone.
All right. So, now that we are done with the conversation, let's answer some questions from the chat. I do have a question before we start. You were looking at the camera in a worried way. Did it stop recording at some point?
It did. It stopped recording.
Okay, we have that one. Okay, so we'll talk with Marshall. I mean, we'll get him the audio from this so that he can put the audio out, and then it might be that just this lives at the episode for the week. And
all right, questions.
Questions.
So there were a couple of questions from a number of people, chief among them Bill Craven and Michael Papa. I'm going to summarize.
Bill Craven and Michael Papa have asked one major question.
Well, it's sort of a play on the same question. Is it okay for Wizards to be printing these broken cards and for, like, older cards to be paying for the sins of Wizards' recent design strategy of print really, really, really powerful cards and when they're busted, ban stuff? Would you rather have them do this or play it more safe, essentially, I think is kind of the question.
I think that they're trying to find the right balance. Mark Rosewater always says that, like, Magic design in particular is kind of a pendulum where, like, it'll swing towards, like, a certain strategy is weak. And then once they realize that it's weak, it'll swing back to them making strong cards, and then maybe it's too strong and they'll swing it back. And usually that's like for specific cards, like Lightning Bolt, for example. Like, he was saying that obviously Lightning Bolt was a very most powerful burn spell in Magic for a long time, and then they kind of swung away from it because it was too powerful. And then at M10 they were like, well, let's swing it back. We had Lightning Bolt for a few years in core sets, and then they were like, well, you know what, it's kind of pushing out other burn spells, let's dial it back a little bit, let's get Lightning Strike. And right. That kind of implies that at some point we'll probably swing back to Lightning Bolt and Standard.
In fact, we have an entire hot take that you can go watch on the YouTube channel about when they probably will reprint, or if they could reprint Lightning Bolt and when.
And so usually you see that applied to specific cards like Birds of Paradise or Llanowar Elves or Lightning Bolt, or like stuff that they kind of have gone long periods without printing and then they bring it back. And I think that that is just true of like the overall power of Standard sets. Like, there's a quote from a design article recently where they were saying that the power level of Eldraine is what you should expect from Standard sets. We want to up the power of Standard sets. We want them to have greater impact on Eternal formats. But I think that the pendulum is there now. And I think that, you know, as they see the results of those decisions, they're going to dial it back a little bit. And we're going to see, you know, they're going to try and find the right spot for Standard cards. And I think that, like, as modern players and as Pioneer players or Legacy players or whatever, you do want to see like cards that impact your format, cards that shake it up. And Modern Horizons was one way for them to do that. Obviously, there were some big mistakes in Modern Horizons, and Bridge from Below and perhaps Mox Opal paid for the sins of Modern Horizons. Mm-hmm. But I also think that Mox Opal was like on the chopping block for a long time, and I don't think that they were never going to print a card that's busted with Mox Opal. In fact, given time, the card that was busted with Mox Opal might have been Emry or Kethys or something else, right? I mean, if it wasn't Urza. Granted, Emry and Kethys are also 2019 cards, sure. So grain of salt, I guess.
2020 for Kethys, 2019 for Emry. Oh, no, Emery 20.
Printed in the year 2019, I mean. Obviously, M2020, but...
Sure, and I was thinking of the other artifact guy. Yep, correct. I think... Ixalan sucked. I think that the fact that we had an entire block where kind of nothing happened, and we, like, went over and most of the cards weren't super exciting.
Didn't even impact Standard.
Didn't even, like, impact Standard.
Just, like, Kindling Phoenix, that was it.
Yeah. Field of Dead, which now is printed in a new set, so it doesn't even get to only be from Ixalan.
Field of Ruin.
Yeah. Field of Ruin, like... And it sucks that it sucked because Pirate Dinosaurs versus Vampires was, like, such a cool theme. Like,
yeah, I was really excited
about it.
Walking
into it, Ben was like, this is the most I've seen of you excited for a set. And then, like, it didn't do anything. And, like...
Yeah, and I think, like, flavorfully, they did, like, mesh these weird, disparate themes into a world that felt really cohesive. And I really liked the creative on Ixalan. And yeah. I think that, like, the stories that were written at that time were great. And, like, they got a lot of people interested in the story, the short
possibly
stories.
Possibly the best, yeah.
Yeah, possibly the best with like the Jace redemption arc, so to speak, mm-hmm. where like kind of rehabilitating Jace and making him a relatable character from, you know, the like douchebag from Flavortext mm-hmm. slash Jace Vraska, the Mind Sculptor. Yeah, rehabilitation of Vraska as like she doesn't like Jace. That's her character trait. Now she like, you know, it did a lot creatively, but mechanically on the cards, the whole block sucked.
Jim Scott asked, Emery puts it into your hand. Emery puts it into play.
She allows you to cast a card from your graveyard. Yeah. So you pay the full mana cost, whatever it may be. Maybe it's zero, and then you play it.
I think that, like, I would rather Wizards print powerful effects than not. I think that the big Band-Aids we're seeing ripped off are ones that were Band-Aids. Like, I think, like, Mox Opal has always been in the conversation of cards to be banned. Faithless Looting was always in the conversation to be banned. Not Visions. Stirrings.
Ancient Stirrings.
Because you just get a poster on the wall. Ancient Stirrings. Actually, that's not a real bad idea. Ancient Stirrings continues to be a card that people point at. And I don't know if I agree with Wizards new. They definitely have decided that they're willing to ban the glue cards more than they previously were. For a while there, they would ban the symptoms and not the disease, as it were. But the
I think that's what was happening with Mox Opal.
Yeah.
With KCI and with Second Sunrise and with, I guess nothing else.
Artifact lands were banned beforehand.
Lands were banned beforehand. Yeah, a lot of those are like the Band-Aid covering over Mox Opal.
Right. And like all of the different Dredge cards, like theoretically, or art graveyard stuff pointing at Faithless Looting is like a pretty easy, like another example. And I also think that like, do I want more Okos? Yes. I just would rather Wizards be more willing to...
That's a take.
That's a take. Yeah. Like, and Oko is especially problematic because the way it's powerful is unfun,
yeah.
Which I think is problematic. But so I guess better example, I want more Hogex. I want powerful effects that do cool things, and worst case scenario, they have to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm excited about Modern Horizons
and
2.
That's the reason that I like them banning Oko, is because, like, yes, Bridge from Below had to die for its sins, but it wasn't really a card anyway before. I mean, nobody was playing it in Modern. Like, should they unban it now? Maybe. But it's kind of a Yu-Gi-Oh card anyway. Like, it it doesn't really seem like a Magic card to me. It doesn't act like a Magic card acts. I don't know that it makes the game a better place for it being it existing. But at least they hit Hogak, right? Like, this time, Urza getting Mox Opal banned is perhaps an indictment of, like, the power level of cards. Yeah. Oko got himself banned. That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
and, like, Karn getting Mycosynth Lattice banned, if there's, like, a fun card that does something really cool that they print now and it gets rid of this, like, random 7/6 drop from 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
Mycosynth
Lattice,
like,
whatever.
It sucks if you paid $30 for one, but at least you only had to buy one and it wasn't doing anything.
And
anyway,
that card is still bonkers in Commander, by the way. Like, In fact, my annoyance with Mycosynth Lattice being good in Modern is I had to take it out of Commander decks and I could put it right back into Malfagor and continue blowing up people's lands with old Karn.
Yeah. Short interlude based on the chat conversation, now that I'm paying more attention since we're doing question and answer. You cannot cast Mox Tantalite from your graveyard with Emry because it has no mana cost. So you can't cast it from your hand, right? Because it has no mana cost. Emry's the same thing. She just allows you to cast an artifact from your graveyard as though it was in your hand with its mana cost. Because it has no mana cost, you cannot cast it. And you actually can't even suspend it either, because suspend says only from your hand.
Yeah.
So Emry and Mox Tantalite, not a combo, unfortunately.
Next question.
All right.
Next question.
C.E. Progasson had a couple of questions. We talked a little bit about unbans. Did you have any thoughts of other than hashtag free the tree? Did you have any thoughts on unbans? And how long until the first Theros Beyond Death ban in Modern, do you think?
Wow.
As far as unbans, unban Birthing Pod and unbans, I think I want to unban Splinter Twin at this point, but unban Birthing Pod for sure.
I'm not a big fan of unbans.
On that arguing train.
I'm not a big fan of unbans, but I guess Bridge from Below would be fine, I think. It's an interesting card. I mean, it's like, it kind of like makes Legacy Dredge tick in a way that makes Legacy Dredge one of the more unique decks in all of Magic.
Yeah.
And Modern Dredge, I would say, is less unique because it, like, has to play more Magic. And that's maybe a feature. I'm not sure, but
feature is a strong word.
Well, look,
bug,
I think
feature, is it on fire or is it?
So the benefits of Magic is that, like, Magic is many games,
yes,
right? And I think that, like, giving more players access to, like, a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh! In their Magic does broaden what Magic is, and maybe that's good. I don't know. But I think Bridge from Below would be a relatively safe one at this point. I don't know that you... I'm not a big fan of unbans in general.
Sure.
Really? Sorry, everyone. Yeah.
Wow. And so, like, just in general, you're just like, once it's banned, it should just stay banned?
I think that, like, once you've banned something, there's not... So banning something is, like, a big decision, right? Because people have invested money in these cards. They've invested time, like, playing these cards. And a lot of people have developed emotional attachments to these cards. And that all gets stripped away when you ban the card. Why unban something, right? Like, yes, people have visions of how much they love their Splinter Twin deck back in the day. But by necessity, they've already had to move on. They've already built a new deck. Maybe it's Blue Moon. Maybe it's something that doesn't even look like Splinter Twin. Maybe they play, you know, maybe they were playing the Urza deck. And, you know, now they're going to continue playing the Urza deck. And they have totally forgotten Splinter Twin. It's out of their minds.
Sure.
So it doesn't, you don't need it back as much as, like, you know,
I think
I feel like you've already moved on.
I have a whole conversation about this. I will say that I disagree with you.
Okay.
I do think there is also a difference between cards that were banned out of Modern and cards that started banned in Modern, which is also a different conversation.
Sure.
But I think that's such a huge episode that, and we are running out of time, so I think I'll pocket this. I will say I think cards can't be unbanned. I think that I don't know.
No, I don't. I'm not fundamentally opposed to unbans.
Sure.
And I think that if Wizards does the work and decides they find something that they think is worth it, fine. I just think that, like, and historically, most of their unbans have been just fine. There hasn't really been an unban that's, like, wildly problematic. But I just think, like,
or Grave Troll, maybe.
Yeah, Grave Troll is the big one, I guess.
But
I mean, it doesn't seem like a big priority to me.
Sure. And then the Theros question. I think it's too soon to tell. I think Heliod has a chance of getting cards banned in Pioneer more than it does have a chance of getting cards banned in Modern. I think
Heliod's
the
closest.
Tools.
And if anything, Underworld Breach.
Can you read the card and what it does?
It's the Yawgmoth's Will.
It's an enchantment that's a colorless and a red that as long as it's in play, cards in your graveyard have escape for 3 cards and their casting cost, and then at the end of the turn you sacrifice the enchantment.
The lack of powerful storm cards in Modern makes it a lot worse, like especially the lack of Brain Freeze.
Yeah, I think that a card has a higher chance of being banned in Legacy yeah. more than even Modern. And like Vintage, it's actually, like, I think is like
when I think
on
of
a short list of being reserved, but
restricted,
restricted. I think that in Modern, I guess that is a higher chance to me than Heliod being banned.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, when I think of cards that like are very good with it, I think of like Cheap Rituals. I think of like Lion's Eye Diamond. I think of like Brain Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
I do think of Thought Scour, admittedly, but I just I don't know. It feels like it's not. Maybe I just haven't put in the work to think of a great Modern deck that contains the card, but mm-hmm. I think it's much more difficult to break in Modern. But sure. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, the power level's there, so it could break. There's just not something distinctly in my mind the way there is with Heliod, where it's like a very low effort I win button. Sure. And low effort I win buttons, like Karn Mycosynth, are often on the watch list because a lot of decks are already playing Ballista or just could play Ballista because it's just a good card that can just slot in Heliod and it's easy.
And the, yeah, I'm almost more excited to see what it does in like Goblin Fecundity Storm decks than I am to see like how much better it's going to be in Storm, a deck that might not even need it.
Is Goblin Fecundity Storm really going to get a card banned in Modern?
No, I don't think it's going to get. No, I'm not saying. I'm more excited to see it than I am to think that it'll get it banned.
Yeah. Well, I think like it'll be cool once the Underworld Breach deck, like somebody brews it up and you're like, wow, you mad genius, you did it. This is awesome. Yes. And it'll be awesome for 1 week and then it'll be like, oh God.
I think Kethys decks are still dope. Like, I think it's like, yeah, I think guess. I would put it at a similar power level as what Kethys is doing. And like, great. It's fine. I mean, like, you're miserable when you have to play against it on Modo, but, like, also they're going to lose maybe just from how many clicks they have to pull off. One last question, and then I think we have to end it.
Well, we can do a couple of, you know, you can just give a thumbs up, thumbs down, stock up, stock down on a couple of the decks that people were asking.
Yay, nays.
Boggles. Up or down?
Up.
Oh, like, does it benefit from these bans?
Yeah.
Oh, from the bans or from Theros? Bands. Oh, from the bans.
Or from Theros. Do you think that in the future...
I think Bogles is good. It is getting a couple of potential tools in this set, and I also think it's good against Primeval Titan. So, yeah, I like Bogles.
It's another deck that, like Affinity was before it and like other decks we mentioned, is get good at Bogles, and you will have a good tournament once in a while.
Mono Blue Paradoxical Outcome Urza.
Worse without Opal.
Yeah, I think it loses a lot from losing Opal. Granted, like, Urza makes everything into an Opal, but it's just like an expensive card, and I think getting set up slower hurts it a lot more than it hurts something like Whirr. But I mean, it could work.
I think what, on one hand, it only needs to get the 4 mana, so it's like a turn slower, and I was making that card work in Standard with like Bonesaws, so like if that could work and I can win a game in Modern, there are good cards.
Yeah, it's a possibility. My first thought is to start with Whirr. But I think that, Paradoxical Outcome Urza could end up being good as well.
Yep.
The Golgari Yawgmoth deck.
Ooh, that deck's sweet.
Yeah.
It didn't lose anything from the bans. It's probably better with no Oko in play, turning its key creatures into 3/3s.
But it does prey on some of the decks that got banned.
That's true, but it's hard to evaluate these decks in a metagame context because there's only a couple of decks that are, like, obviously frontrunners after this. And like I said, like, if Primeval Titan decks are just the most popular best deck, there can be decks that are going to prey on Primeval Titan decks that are going to be then the best deck after that.
Right,
and so it's
right.
hard to say where things are going to shake out. So I think like raw power level, like what the Yawgmoth deck has, looks good to me.
Dredge.
I think Dredge is about as good as it was before in my mind.
I am excited to see how decks do with not... how decks taking advantage of the adventure Faithless Looting do without Oko in the format and Oko being the best deck. I think those decks are better against Primeval Titan decks than they were necessarily against Urza decks.
Primeval Titan decks can often tutor up a Bajuka Bog, right? Which is a little rough.
Sure.
But I mean, Dredge decks were already putting up results in the metagame that we were in.
Yeah.
The decks that are going to remain good are Dredge is still going to be able to put up results against them, I assume.
And
so.
I think Escape gives it more tools. Like any graveyard deck has better with Escape cards and with the mod. Yeah.
Ooh, the Ox.
The Ox.
Yeah. So Dredge got a new tool and it was already putting up results in Oko fall, Oko as, land. You know, whatever you want to call it. But
yeah, so I think in general, Dredge gets better, but more because of Theros and less because of the bans.
Moxen are out. Oxen are in.
Infect is good still. I'm pretty high on Infect. Not good still, I guess. But
for the same reason, I think Boggles is going to be good. I think it's just like good in a relatively unknown metagame where people don't know what threats they need to answer yet. It's similar to Burn, where just like if you just are one of the fastest decks in the format, you're going to beat up on all the people who are playing Clunky Brews, right?
Right. I think it benefits less from Theros unless there is some weird pump escape card that I missed, which is definitely possible because the type of cards that are good in Infect are generally bad everywhere else.
I don't think it gains anything.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I think that people trying to aim for Urzas and Titans make you maybe a little bit better off if you're just a like hard to kill 1/1 that's flying. And like they can't tap out or they lose.
Last one is just general all-in kind of combo. Like all-in Neoform, for example, combo or Goryeo's Vengeance decks. Like the turn one, turn two weird-looking combo decks.
I think that they are relatively the same unless they did get new tools from Theros Beyond Death. There's such a wide amount of cards that could come from that set that maybe there's something there.
Yeah,
With what Michael said about Boggles and Infect, they do have the benefit of no one knows what's going on right now, so you don't have kind of decks that are going to be like, oh, I have removal spells and counter magic that can stop things because I know which things I need to stop. And so decks that attack from weird angles are most benefited in those environments.
Yeah, and I think those decks are going to be about the same because it's not like the Urza Oko decks just had like an incredible turn two matchup. Like, oh, well, I could just beat all the turn two decks, you know, like those decks nut draws are just going to beat stuff no matter what. Right. So it's really a question of if that deck stumbles, does it still have a chance against the metagame? And I think that's kind of unpredictable. I would say that they're about the same in my mind.
Yeah,
I don't think they greatly benefit. But I don't think that they really lost anything, obviously.
I think decks that Oko was good against get better. I think that's like the only real thing you can take from this. I don't think Mox Opal was keeping decks down, and the speed it was offering the decks like was more about how quick they were able to establish a win lock and less about how quick they were winning. Because the ones that were trying to win quickly with Mox Opal weren't very good recently. So it's more about like, are Kitchen Fink decks or like Malira combo decks maybe better now because Oko is gone? Yes. But are Neoform decks that were winning on turn two maybe due to the luck of how well they drew? I think they're the same.
I mean, Griselbrand is better, right? So like,
sure.
Goryeo's Vengeance is only putting Griselbrand in for one turn and then they're probably winning. But Neobrand had to like put a Griselbrand into play and then they can draw seven and then they're like, pass. And you're like, elk.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I use all the cards I drew to put another Griselbrand in the play and elk,
yep,
right? So,
yep.
So you do want to untap with Griselbrand in that deck, and you are much more likely to do it with no Okos.
Yeah. So I think that, yeah, that kind of covers all of those. I think that's it for the episode today. We're running out of time. Thank you so much for everyone who was hanging out in the chat. Thank you so much for everyone listening. Big shout out to all of our patrons. They're the reason that we have new mics, we have a camera now. Obviously, we're figuring out how to use all of these things, so we apologize for all of the technical difficulties. We will continue making content every week. Next week will be, Ben will be back. I will be gone on my way to London. If anyone's in London,
I'd love to hang out. And we should have a guest.
We may have a guest.
Okay.
Because technical difficulties may direct where that happens.
I'm optimistic we can solve them in a week.
Yeah. If we have a guest, he's going to be awesome. I know who it is, but I don't want to spoil it. And thank you guys so much. We're really excited. And make sure to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Cass Wiley.
I'm at Dudar, D-U-D-A-R-D-D.
Make sure to follow on YouTube. Subscribe. Like it. If you're watching right now, like it. All you people in the chat and then all the people watching this later, like it on YouTube. Make sure to share it with your friends because that's great. Thank you, Ruben, for helping on the producer's chair. And big shout out to Jim Casal, who was not able to make it onto the cast, though he hung out with us for 30 minutes while we tried figuring it out. We will get him on in the future once we figure out how to have guests on the podcast. Thanks, guys.